This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Are you on board with the proposed MLB playoff expansion outlined by Joel Sherman in the New York Post? What is more likely, growing from 5 to 7 teams in each league, or allowing top seeds to choose their opponents?
Yeah, I think they want to expand the playoffs, and I understand why they do, and I think it has a lot to do with the economics of the game. You know, honestly, didn't we just expand the playoffs? How long ago was that? Because I know it was fairly recent, but my God, I mean, go back and look at White Sox history. They were second place to the Yankees for a number of years, you know? Some really good teams that never got an opportunity. So I don't know how I feel about this. I'm always skeptical when the regular season doesn't matter as much. I think that's the danger. You take away the meaning of the regular season and teams can limp in. And, you know, baseball's a different sport. Basketball, the best team wins. Baseball's like hockey. You could see some upsets. You could see some interesting things happen. I get the good idea is that it's not a wild card game. There's actually a 3-game series, right? A best of 5 type thing going on. So that would be better than the situation you have now. But the idea of division winners choosing which of the teams they play, I think that adds some weird reality TV thing to it that you don't want to see. You know, with the Yankees, if the Yankees get in, would they want to play the Bo Sox because of the history between the two organizations? Or if there's a team you think is good, do you want to get rid of them first and then set yourself up for an easier second round? I would imagine everybody would go for what they thought was the easiest team right away so they could extend their playoff life. You can't say that I mean, if it's inevitable and it's going to happen, it's not going to change the way that I follow it, but I would say I'm more of a traditionalist, and I would much prefer things to remain the same, although I've liked the wild card. I mean, I got to be honest about it. I thought it was gimmicky and stupid, and it's turned out to be kind of fun, so I don't have any major complaints about it. I would imagine, ultimately, if the Sox get in the playoffs more often, I'd probably be happy about it, but they're just getting good now, and I don't want these teams sneaking in and robbing them.
Baseball's got an image problem. Its target audience are men in their 50s who are getting older by the minute, and you can't just keep the game the same and expect it to appeal to the masses in this way, because it's such a single outcome experience anymore. You're going to walk, you're going to strike out, or you're going to homer, and the game has become one that drags. And I know traditionalists object to the idea that doing something will harm the sanctity of the 162-game season, but this is where we are with professional sports. You have to worry about the television audience, the television revenue, people coming to the turnstiles. It costs more than ever to go to a Major League Baseball game. Make it worth the while. Add some excitement, and this certainly does that. When you expand to 14 teams in the postseason, you're talking about 18 first-round playoff games. Yeah, you're going to have some gimmicky things involved. I don't know if this is going to be the final version of the draft or the proposal, but they need to tweak some things. The live television, pick your opponent aspect of it, is a bit of a reach. But at the same time, how many people would watch that? They have, you know, every team is going to be kind of, there's more opportunities for excitement in places like San Diego, which may have been forgotten, you know, and not have a chance by August 15th. And now you don't have to say we're going to surrender anything to the Dodgers, because you have a chance, because there's 7 teams in each league, 3 wild card spots, and I think that's an attainable goal. So, look, it does need tweaked, but I don't know why the players would object to this. There's more revenue to be split. I don't know why the owners would object to this. I think that this is just a traditional hurdle that's worth clearing, and you have to really look at, you know, why they're doing this at the time. If baseball were fully healthy and it wasn't a sport that was losing, you know, its audience or fearful of losing its audience, you wouldn't be having these proposals. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, David. And I think that one of the things that this does is it will create fewer excuses for teams to tank or take years off, that you can actually say, you could really say in earnest that every season it is possible to win the World Series, that there won't be teams taking years off, tanking, doing what the Cubs are doing, where they're kind of like, we'll see how it goes. And if it goes the way the Cubs are thinking, that this may be a year off for them. But if they do expand the playoffs, this changes the game for how much teams should spend and the pressure that their fan bases justifiably would put on them. One thing I think that they should make very clear and come out and say is that this, we're going to try this for 1 year, and if it sucks and nobody likes it, we're going to get rid of it. I think they should put that caveat right out there. I do like the idea of expanding to seven teams. It's not like you're blowing it up completely. You're adding a couple of teams. And the one and done, for the most part, I like when it's not a team that I have an interest in. But it seems like, for the most part, when you really balance it and look at it objectively, it could be unfair and a little bit too stressful for those teams. So, yeah, I think it's best that they would expand it to a best of three. Overall, I think this is a good idea, and that's where I'm going to leave it.
I like it. I like the idea of adding more teams. I think it just raises the level of competition in both leagues. So I'm a fan. I do think growing from five to seven teams is more likely to happen as opposed to allowing top seeds to choose their opponents. But I love that component of it. I would love to see that happen on TV. You need something fresh for younger fans. You turn this into a reality TV style event. I think it brings interest to the game from younger people. And Trevor Bauer is using his Twitter fingers to push back against all of these proposed changes very loudly. Therefore, I'm a big fan of it, because screw Trevor Bauer. He's a jerk.
Nice. Well, Trevor Bauer, just to amplify on that, he's got issues with this whole thing, but he doesn't tell you exactly what the issues is. He just used Twitter to call Rob Manfred.
Name caller. That's right, what he is.
Hey, when Ray calls you a jerk, there's a problem. Yeah, I'm a devastated problem. Right.
Right
now.
Yeah. When he's
devastated.
I am.
I don't know that it needs to be changed, but it's interesting, Mully. You mentioned all the second place finishes that the White Sox had, right, in the 90s. So
that wasn't the 90s. That was like in the 40s, buddy. Well, I'm just saying, look at history. They were behind the Yankees. Just when the Yankees won all those titles, the Sox were in second place in the division.
Did that answer your question? You have a follow-up?
But finish your thought.
I'm good.
Whoa.
How do you expect the Cubs to frame the Chris Bryant situation when Theo Epstein meets reporters today in Arizona? And how will he address the team's inactivity after suggesting a busy offseason last October?
This is when Theo's at his best. I mean, if this is when you expect him to handle the situation. There's no moment that has been too big for him. And I think this is probably a challenge because of everything that he said in the 71-minute press conference at the end of last season when there was so much disappointment in Chicago. But this is where you are, and this is the way he has to handle it. He has to come out today whenever he meets the media and say, you know, we like our team. We think the world of Chris Bryant. We always have. He's been very good for this organization, and as long as he is in that Cub uniform, we are expecting him to be the player that he was for us when he was the MVP, when he was the Rookie of the Year. We expect him to return to form. We thought we would be more aggressive in the offseason, but we were unable to. It shows you how much we like our players and value what they mean to us. That is the only way he can approach this. You can't come out there and say, you know what, we are burning the phone lines, trying to get the Braves to take this guy off our hands because we know we're not going to be able to sign him long term. And by the way, Rangers, are you interested still? Because John Daniels, let's make a deal. That's not going to be realistic. So I think he's going to reestablish the faith in the core, try to move forward. David Ross is their manager, and that is the change that they can embrace because complacency is no longer part of the clubhouse.
I think that Theo, as you say, he is real good with words, and he'll do some speechifying if he has to, but he has no problem talking and explaining, and I think he can make a case, and maybe he will, that they did have massive change, that they did change the structure of the organization, that they did a lot of things behind the scenes that will create change that affects the team on the field. So I think that's a one route that he'll be able to go down when he talks about this stuff. I just think that it helps when you're the smartest guy talking. And I don't think it's you think he's, you know, there are certain people who think they're the smartest guy in the room. I think Theo actually is the smartest guy in the room. So it makes it a little bit easier. You're not intimidated by questions. You have ideas in your head that you can easily get out of your mind and explain things. And I think he will do a good job. I think if I'm a Cub fan, I'm going to feel really good about the team after Theo speaks, because that's how he handles things. I don't know exactly what argument he'll make regarding Chris Bryant, but I would imagine that it will be an articulate one that will affect the way you look at it.
Yeah, he's going to have to be careful exactly how directly he discusses it, but I think that he will get to say to Cubs fans, and I think Cubs fans will love this, is that, hey, you know, and I don't know if he'll directly say Chris Bryant, but he'll say, look, we said at the beginning, if we don't get the players in exchange that we want, then we're not going to just make trades for the sake of making trades. Like, they need a haul back for Chris Bryant. They're not going to do a Mookie Betts where there's not, like, sure thing top grade A prospects back in the trade or major league ready guys good to go and make an impact on the team. You just cannot trade Chris Bryant if you're not getting a haul back. And I think in some creative Theo Epstein intelligent type of way, he can express that and say that. But he also has to leave open the possibility that Chris Bryant could still very well be traded, whether it's before the season starts or whether it's at the trade deadline, depending how things go. So he has to come up with the words to express that without being too strong about it. And we've all seen Theo Epstein do that in the past. As you know, and I think that explains the entire offseason in terms of explaining that to the media and Cubs fans, and it not being a busy offseason. Things just did not come up to fruition the way they thought they might, and they did not get what they thought they would get out of the entire situation. And I also think that, you know, like we talked about with Chris Bryant yesterday, Theo Epstein can address it today and then say, I'm not going to answer any more questions about Chris Bryant or trades until it happens. So I think he could shut it down if he wants.
I expect Theo to say that the team didn't expect the ruling in this Chris Bryant grievance to happen as late as it did. And I expect him to say that is the reason for the inactive off season after promising a busy one. I think that's going to be used as the excuse and the reason. And I think, Grody, to your point, I think he will say, still, with this ruling, there are no untouchables on this team. And that's the language I expect to hear.
That's a good way to put it right there, Ray. I agree.
I'm just curious if he's going to, in a very intelligent way, because he is the smartest guy in Arizona, suggest that there are problems with ownership. Like, basically, they have been hand. Listen, I am playing the hand of poker with the cards I've been dealt. And when you know, we could go back to my thesaurus and look up words for busy, right? I mean, I would say they had a busy offseason.
Behind the scenes.
So, I mean, there was a lot going on. I mean, they were trying to make chicken salad out of chicken you know what, okay? Based on what their dollars they had to use while the Chris Bryant thing was, you know, let's ask this, you know, had this Chris Bryant thing come out 30 days ago, if the news, okay, could the Cubs and the Dodgers have been making the trade that the Red Sox and the Dodgers made? Could they have been, you know, could it have been even a bigger, could it have been like a five team, get the Twins involved, get the Texas Rangers involved, whoever else you want to get involved? I mean, this could have been a massive blockbuster, because then maybe somebody like Kyle Schwarber or Wilson Contreras is in the mix on this whole thing, and you've got all kinds of people moving.
Possibly. But so, if he's the smartest guy in the state, what would he have to gain from basically saying ownership has tied his hands?
No, I don't think he'll say it that directly, David. Okay. I think he's going to say it in a way that I will interpret that that's what he said. But no, of course he's not going to say that. But there's all the speculation's already, you know, this is it. This is the end of Theo in the cut. 2021 when the contract's up. That's it. He's gone. Well, why? Why would he leave? Because he's not getting the open checkbook anymore, right? It's going to be very interesting. This is kind of must-see TV that I don't think is going to be on TV yet.
And everybody ends up on the Reds. Chris Bryant to the Reds.
That's a great question, and it differs for every guy.
Would-be reliever Brandon Morrow says he's cautiously optimistic about a return from surgery at the age of 35. Who do you have the most faith in, Morrow, Craig Kimbrell, or Jeremy Jeffress?
Boy, I'll take the curtain Carol Mirren is holding, or I'll take the pill.
No, don't.
Yeah.
The pill. Oh,
no. I've chosen to shuffle off this mortal coil as opposed to answer this question. I think I might have faith in Craig Kimbrell for a bounce back. I think that's the biggest hope that I have. And I don't have faith in Morrow. I think it'd be great to see it. But I think the minute you rely on a guy like that, I think that's what we've learned, is that's the minute he goes down for the rest of the year. So I would be hesitant to put my eggs in that basket for fear they would break. I'll go with Kimbrell because it has to be better. It has to be. And you need it to be.
Brandon Morrow, Kimbrell, or Jeremy Jeffress? Chicken pox, mumps, or measles? I mean, pick your poison there.
Bring back Brandon Kinsler.
I'll have the arsenic, please.
Let's understand what happened here yesterday. Brandon Morrow was throwing on a mound, and he was the only guy there. And there were reporters getting there for the first day. That was a gimme story. It was the obligatory Brandon Morrow is in a Cub uniform on a minor league contract story. The story also included the words residual pain. A guy who has not pitched since July of 2018, who is still experiencing residual pain, does nothing to inspire confidence. So when Brandon Morrow is brought into the game by David Ross, that's when I will start paying attention and investing any ounce of hope that he might be able to get a batter out, a professional hitter at the plate. Until then, no. Jeremy Jeffress, I got to go with Craig Kimbrell. Of those three, he's the one that you expect to be give the most professional effort and be able to be on the mound and available.
Well, I think that there's a best-case scenario here for both of those two guys, particularly Craig Kimbrell and Brandon Morrow, not so much Jeremy Jeffress, is that if this season goes the way Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer are allowing it to go, if you get anything out of those guys, they'll definitely be guys that will and could be eligible to be traded at the deadline if you're doing this little rolling rebuild or one-year restocking or whatever, however you want to characterize it, that's the best-case scenario. Which one of these guys do I have the most faith in? It would have to be Craig Kimbrell. It's a joke to think that. I mean, no, we're not. Look, with Morrow, we're not going to fall for this again. We've fallen for it just about every year of his Cubs existence. It's good that it's just a minor league deal at this point. But even if he does return on time this year, he's 35. Is he still the same high velocity, really good pitcher when he's healthy? I don't know if he is. And even if he does get back, chances are, if you go look back on every single year of his existence, not just with the Cubs, the guy has been injured. So it's crazy to depend on him. So Kimbrell would be the answer, but even he, I don't have a whole lot of faith in. And again, best case scenario is to flip these guys.
Grody, what would Lou Piniella think about Brandon Morrow?
He was signed with the Cubs, and now he's no damn good. You saw him out there. And it's just bad.
Well, thank you, Lou.
Ray, he's a nice guy, but he got mad before.
That's right.
I like Ray.
Brandon Morrow, the health of Brandon Morrow is obviously very questionable. I can't put any faith in him until I can at least, at the bare minimum, see him break camp injury-free. And then we'll start from there. It's going to have to be Craig Kimbrell for me. Jeremy Jeffress, don't have a lot of faith in that guy, but I'm hoping, the bar is very low, and I hope he can be a contributor. Craig Kimbrell, it has to be Craig Kimbrell. Also health issues with that guy, but look, he has the best track record. I understand it was a terrible season for him in what we saw from him in a Cubs uniform last year. But you have to hope that, you know, getting back into a routine, being healthy this time and being in a regular spring training routine instead of throwing pitches at some high school with a high school kid has to help him, I'm hoping. So I'm going to go with Craig Kimbrel, I'm a little scared of that.
And the bar is set very low for all three of these guys. I mean, and now if you're asking, I think right now that Jeffress is supposed to be like the super hold guy. If we need a closer guy, if he's supposed to be that guy,
eighth inning guy,
right?
Yeah.
If he's supposed to be what Strope was and a little bit of what, you know, left the Cubs and went over to 35th and Shields and Steve Cishek, right? If he's supposed to be that guy, I got very little faith that he can be what those two guys were. I mean, I'm not sure Brandon Morrow can break a pane of glass right now with a baseball, okay, let alone, you know, find the pitcher's mitt and do it on 2 days in a row, God forbid, right? Oh, my gosh. Could he possibly throw 25 pitches 2 days in a row? So it has to be, okay? It has to be your closer, the bearded one. I look like ZZ Top, okay? It has to be Craig Kimbrel. It has to be. If the Cubs have any chance to compete for a wild card or a division, Craig Kimbrel doesn't have to be elite, but he has to be two steps better than he was last season.
That's a real question.
With Philip Rivers officially becoming a free agent, how interested should the Bears be in the veteran quarterback?
They better be interested. I mean, you better pick up the phone. It falls under the category of due diligence, and this is going to be the first of several quarterbacks that are going to become free agents that you have to look at and say, if you're Ryan Pace, why not? Or at least, what's it going to cost? It might be prohibitive. It might be something you're not interested in. He is 38. There are all sorts of red flags, but your quarterback is Mitch Trubisky, and you have a defense that's ready to win now. And you have other issues on the offensive line, and I still think that you can devote your draft to building up your offensive line and maybe be creative in free agency to build up your offensive line. But your quarterback still is the most pressing issue for this organization. Philip Rivers has a lot to offer somebody, and I know that around the league, the, you know, consensus, it seemed to be yesterday, boy, wouldn't he look good in a Colts uniform? They're ready to win. Just plug and play. He would be good there. And there are other teams that have come up. The Bears have to at least get in the conversation because they don't want to be left out, and you can't leave any stone unturned. So this is the first of probably several. I still think probably a guy like Dalton or maybe Mariota makes a little bit more sense. I still like Derek Carr if he pops loose and they go after Tom Brady. But Philip Rivers shouldn't be ignored.
All right, are we talking about the Bears quarterback again? Are we talking about more guys that aren't coming to Chicago? Tom Brady's not coming here. Philip Rivers, add him to the list. There is a whole list of quarterbacks not coming to Chicago. Guys that want to try to win at the end of their career. There is no room at the inn. They've kept Mitch. They are keeping Mitch. They're not. Philip Rivers isn't going to come here. They're not going to pay him to be the backup to Mitch Trubisky. And he's not interested in it anyway. So let's just move on to the next guy. He will wind up with the Colts because he's got connections with the Colts, and it makes sense. Here in Chicago, Philip Rivers, it makes no sense.
All that, Molly, and he has lived a warm weather lifestyle for a long time. We all love Chicago, but I can't expect a guy that has been living like that to want to come to Chicago. And, yeah, I even at the age of 30, I think he is going to pick exactly where he wants to go. And if it's not that exact scenario, I think Philip Rivers is the type of guy who would feel strong enough to walk away for a while and wait for the exact right spot for him to go. There is still life left in him with a 66% completion percentage, 23 TDs, did have 20 interceptions last year, but I don't see it. And the 38 part does bother me a little bit. I mean, at any point in time, he could become bad on the field. So I don't know if I like it, and I don't think he'd want to be here either.
40's the new 33, Gordon.
That's what I've heard. Yeah. That's what Tom Brady said anyway.
So a lot of these free agent quarterbacks are looking to turn their career around in Ryan Tannehill-like fashion. I think when you look at a guy like Philip Rivers or a guy like Tom Brady, who have had a long track record of success but are older and are coming off of not-so-good seasons, I'm okay. I would not want to go with Philip Rivers. I would not want to go with Tom Brady. I would like to go more so with a younger guy like Derek Carr, Mariota, Cam Newton even, Dalton, somebody like that, a younger guy who there is more of a chance for to have some longevity with.
I didn't know Brad Biggs all of a sudden got on the panel this morning. Listen, it is this story is getting ridiculous. I mean, I thought it was ridiculous yesterday that, like, breaking news, Philip Rivers and the Chargers are no longer married. He packed up his family and moved to Florida like 8 weeks ago, right? I mean, this, like, they acted like this was breaking news, and Adam Schefter and the Four Letter Network and 96 guys, he credited him and she had this and in an exclusive interview with her. And what? I mean, who cares? It's Philip Rivers. Number one, I wouldn't want Philip Rivers can't fit. Okay, Matt Nagy, we've seen, does not adapt to the talent that he has. What kind of plays would he call for Philip Rivers, right? I mean, that's just crazy. It wouldn't work just on that. And of course, he's not coming here as the backup. Okay, now for fantasy football purposes, I guess it's interesting to find out where Philip Rivers is going to play next year. Okay, but that's not it. Marcus Mariota, if it's a name that you're looking for, maybe Marcus Mariota. Okay, maybe they put a really short lease on Mitch Trubisky next year, and then Marcus Mariota becomes the guy that wins a couple games, and the Bears maybe limp in as a wild card or something next year. And then Marcus Mariota all of a sudden is in line, like a Tannehill kind of a deal in the future. Maybe, but that's it. I mean, this now has gotten absolutely silly.
No, I want to finish the question. The question is this.
How do you explain Zach LaVine not being among the 44 U.S. players invited to be on the Olympic team's preliminary roster? Why does LaVine have such a hard time gaining respect outside of Chicago?
Well, I think to answer the second part of it first, the team he's playing on is awful. So there is view of him as a guy who is scoring on a team that's no good. So he's just a scorer, he's, you know, the best player on the worst team kind of deal. So, no, he doesn't get a lot of respect outside of here. I would imagine that the reason Zach LaVine is not among the 44 U.S. players invited to the Olympic team, the preliminary roster, is because he's not good enough to make that roster. He has been deemed not good enough. Whether he believes he should have made the All-Star team or we think he should have made the All-Star team, we base much of that belief on the fact that the game is in Chicago and they like to throw a bone to the hometown. We don't base it on the fact that he's a legitimate NBA All-Star, because guess what? He hasn't been yet. So whether it's fair or not, you know, putting a team together, you need a certain number of big guys to clog the middle, at least theoretically. Doesn't seem to happen with Houston. You need a certain number of guys to be able to play the wing. You need a certain number of guys to be able to run the team, and then you need a certain number of guys to be your two guard, and that's where he would fit into that team, and there are better options. So it's just a simple math problem for Zach LaVine. He's not among the top 44 players, ergo not invited to the camp.
I think his biggest problem is that he is a willing defender, but he doesn't play defense really well. And I think when you talk about the two-way game, there's not a lot of respect for Zach LaVine outside of Chicago, because I think we respect his work ethic. We respect the fact that he's the best player on a bad team, and he shows up every night and he scores at will. But he still is not known to be necessarily an all-around player, and that's going to be the challenge he has to overcome. He's still pretty young, and he still might be able to do that. Maybe he's on the next 44-man roster, preliminary roster for the 2024 Olympics or whatever. But I think when you look at that, the names that were chosen, and the guards specifically, it's not just 44 players. There's that, you look at the guards and it's a smaller list, and you understand why they may have gone a different route. But it's unfortunate for him, because I do think he probably looked at that as, you know, a difficult month, a sign of respect, and he's now been passed over by the All-Star team and now the Olympic team. And so I'd take the weekend off if I were Zach LaVine, but he's going to be shooting a 3-point contest anyway.
Yeah, I think at some point in time, the Olympic team architects got away from, you know, putting just a bunch of scorers on the squad, and that is what Zach LaVine does. He scores. You guys said it. The all-around game simply is not there. And I don't think it's just that the Bulls are bad. He is not. For whatever reason, Zach LaVine is not respected around the league in terms of being a top tier guy. I mean, most of the NBA experts that I hear on the Score, guys that I respect and that have a lot of insight and watch this stuff every day, think that if it's a really good team at best, or that he's the third best player, maybe the second best player on a championship team. And if that's what you are, then you're probably not somebody who would be eligible to either be on an Olympic team or on an all-star team. I mean, I think that's such an important part to listen to, is that number three, he's the third best player on a good team.
Well, I look at this list. I don't think that necessarily Derek White from the Spurs is better than Zach LaVine. However, when you look at commonalities here of people who are left off, you see Zach LaVine left off. You see Trae Young left off. The common denominator is bad defense. So I guess that's what justifies it.
This just shows that, you know, it's Bulls stink. That's what's going on here. That's part of this. But, I mean, Zion Williamson's not part. Ja Morant's not part of it. I mean, you know, if anything, the good news is we're talking about Olympic basketball. Maybe that's the idea. Okay, until this story came out, and I'm not the biggest NBA guy. Who, Derek White? Who? I didn't even know who Derek White was until this list came out. Okay, I mean, and I'm all for it. We've goofed around about the, you know, take the Spurs and enter them in the Olympics, and guess what? We'd win the Olympics. We, being USA, would win the Olympics. Coast, that's fine. The current San Antonio Spurs roster, just send them to Tokyo with Popovich and go win the gold medal. They'll win it. I really do think they'd win it.
I don't think that's the case anymore.
You don't think that's the case?
No.
Well, how would you know? We've never done that. The point is, you don't need scorers. You need a team. Okay, you can't have a guy every time the ball goes into their hands, like Trae Young, because he's on the Atlanta Hawks, or Zach LaVine, because he's on the Chicago Bulls, who stink out loud. Every time they get the ball, they feel like they got to put the ball up towards the net. That's not going to win it in Tokyo. But the Spurs would mop the rest of the world, okay? The current Spurs roster right now, and the Spurs are barely a playoff team, would mop the rest of the world with Popovich as their coach in the Olympics, in my opinion.
312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. What is your thought? You like this playoff expansion? Are you looking forward to something going down in spring training? What's Theo going to say about it? What about it? You got Morrow, Kimbrell, Jeffress. Who you taking? Philip Rivers coming to town? That makes sense to you? And how do you explain Zach getting stiff? 312-644-6767. Mullion Hall on the Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.